Well, boys and girls, it's official. The U.S. men's national team will be heading to Qatar for the 2022 World Cup. And to make it even more official, a bunch of old wealthy men gathered in Qatar to pick ping pong balls out of fish tanks with very dramatic music playing in the background. So now we know the U.S. men's national team will be facing off against England, Iran, and the European playoff that's either Ukraine or Wales, or I forget the other team. So one of those, so we know who the U.S. men's national team will be facing. Now, what players will the U.S. men's national team be bringing to Qatar? Now, that's a question that's really interesting. Now, we have been tracking who we think Greg Berhalter is going to bring to Qatar for the last, several months now. We put together a expected 23 in February and then another one in November. And now we're putting out another one now that World Cup qualifying is over. So we can see who we think is going to be on Greg's list right now. And we can see how the roster has grown over time, and especially who we thought it would be before World Cup qualifying, kind of who it was during World Cup qualifying, and now that World Cup qualifying is over, we can see who we think the 23 is. Of course, we've got another 8 months to go, so there's bound to be some shifts. Now, before we start, remember, this is the expected Greg Berhalter 23. This is not some projection of what we think might happen between now and the World Cup. This is if Greg's picking his list right now, who are the 23 names he's going to pick? We'll get to all that and more on this episode of the Yank Report.
What's up, guys? My name is Sam, and this is the Yank Report. We talk about the U.S. men's national team.
And if you want to support the channel, hit the like button. Happy April Fool's Day, guys. Now, we're going to get into the goalkeepers, but before we do, we're going to hear from today's sponsor. Football might be over, but MLS is coming back and Champions League and European soccer are in full swing. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive 50% off your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code BELIEVE to get started. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds, right to the Olympic coverage. From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play all your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, as for the keepers, we had the same three in February and November. It was Matt Turner, Zach Steffen, and Sean Johnson. Now, today, we switched it up a little bit. We've dropped Sean Johnson, and we've added Ethan Horvath. Ethan Horvath was the keeper who showed out very well for the U.S. in Nations League, but he has struggled to get a starting spot for his club team. Recently, he's got a starting spot. That led to him being a part of the last round of World Cup qualifiers. If he continues to get those starts, he should be on the plane heading to Qatar. Now, the interesting question with the keepers is going to be that battle for the number one spot. I think Zach Steffen had a rather unconvincing final World Cup window, and Matt Turner has been a tremendous shot stopper every time he's been involved with the national team. So that debate is going to continue to rage on as we head towards Qatar. Moving on to the center backs, and we've had a tremendous amount of movement at this position group since February. I think it's been the most movement we've had. Back in February, whenever all this started, we had John Brooks, Matt Miazga, Aaron Long, and Mark McKenzie. Moving into November, we had John Brooks, Chris Richards, Miles Robertson, and Walker Zimmerman. Today, if Greg Berhalter's picking 23 right now, I think the four center backs he's going to go with are Walker Zimmerman, Miles Robertson, Chris Richards, and Aaron Long. Now, the big news throughout World Cup qualifying has been about John Brooks, whether or not the veteran center back is going to be in Greg's plans. Greg has said that the door is still open and he thinks that John Brooks is going to be a part of Nations League, and maybe that serves as a jumping off point for John working his way back into the lineup. I think one of the big surprises throughout World Cup qualifying has been the stellar play of Miles Robinson and Walker Zimmerman. Now, they've had some mistakes and they've had some recent mistakes, but I think overall throughout World Cup qualifying, they were a very dynamic pair. Chris Richards was coming along nicely prior to his injury. I still believe Aaron Long is the dark horse here. I think that his physicality, his attributes are very similar to what Miles Robinson brings to the team. I think that Greg Berhalter really likes his play. I think he really likes the way that Aaron Long fits into the system, fits into the way that he wants his center backs to play. And I think he's a leader in the locker room. And I think Greg really appreciates that. So I do think Aaron Long has that fourth center back spot locked down right now. But of course, I mean, if anything has been true of the U.S. men's national team over the past year, it's been that center back position, man. Anything can happen. Moving on to the right backs. And back in February, I had DeAndre Yedlin and Sergiño Dest. I thought DeAndre Yedlin's leadership was going to be a big part of World Cup qualifying. In November, it became Reggie Cannon and Sergiño Dest. And today, based on what Greg's been doing lately, it is Sergiño Dest, Reggie Cannon, and DeAndre Yedlin. In the last two World Cup qualifier windows, Greg has brought three right backs and one left back, and he feels like those right backs have the ability to play and cover in that left back position. I think one of the big question marks, of course, is going to be Joe Scally. He's the guy that myself and many other people are questioning. When is Joe going to get his opportunity with the squad? How does he fit in? Is he going to be able to contribute something to this group? We know that Joe can play at right back. We know that he can slot in at left back as well. So it seems like he would be a fantastic option for this group. It's just a matter of Greg Berhalter giving him that call, giving him the opportunity to show what he can do in some of the lead-up games as we head to Qatar. I still think Scally can be a part of this mix, but I feel like if Greg's going to pick it right now, he's going to go with those three right backs that he's been calling up throughout World Cup qualifying, or at least the last few windows of World Cup qualifying. Now, at left back in February, I had Anthony Robinson and Sam Vines. In November, I had Anthony Robinson and Joe Scally. Today, it's just Anthony Robinson. Anthony Robinson's been the only left back Greg has called up recently, save for this last window where he needed an emergency call and he brought in George Bello. But George Bello didn't play any minutes. It doesn't look like Greg trusts Sam Vines or George Bello at this moment in time to play left back for the national team. If he did, I'm sure George Bello would have gotten minutes in the last window, but Bello didn't. So I think that says a lot about where Greg sees the left back position. I don't know if I want Anthony Robinson to be the only reliable left back heading into the World Cup. I'd love for another option to emerge. I think Joe Scally kind of leads in that category as far as a player who can cover at that left back spot. But there's also some young guys out there in Europe who could potentially have a big second half of the season and rocket their way up there. I mean, Bello's on that list, but so is Jonathan Gomez and so is Kevin Paredes. I mean, these are both players that had some flashes of brilliance and are players with huge upsides. It's just a matter of whether or not they can come in by the time, but within this 8 months between now and the World Cup, if they can put themselves on this roster and earn Greg Berhalter's trust. At the defensive midfield position, and this is going to bring back some memories, way back in February, we had Jackson Yuhl. Yes, Jackson Yuhl and Tyler Adams as the defensive midfielders. In November, that shifted to Kellen Acosta and Tyler Adams, and today it remains Kellen Acosta and Tyler Adams. I think we've seen throughout World Cup qualifying that Greg Berhalter believes in Kellen Acosta. He likes what he brings to the group. He can cover at that six, and for whatever reason, Greg still likes putting him at that eight position here and there. I do think Kellen offers something in that eight position in games where we are under siege. I think he played pretty well against Mexico and showed those capabilities. The weakness of Kellen Acosta at the eight is whenever the U.S. has the ball and they're trying to break teams down. That's just not a very positive attribute as far as his game. But I do think right now Kellen Acosta is that second number six, and I really don't see any other options emerging for the U.S. Between now and Qatar. But 8 months is a long time in new U.S. men's national team time, years, whatever you want to call it. So something could happen, but at the moment, I think it's Kellen Acosta's spot. Now we move to the center mids, and this has been a very interesting position for the U.S. men's national team. Way back in February, we had Weston McKennie, Yunus Musah, Jean-Luc Aboussio, and Sebastian Lletget. And today, we have moved to Weston McKennie, Yunus Musah, Luca Della Torre, and Jean-Luc Aboussio. I think Luca Della Torre has been a player that has shined in the last two windows with the U.S. men's national team. He's been very much a breath of fresh air and offers something to the squad that prior we absolutely did not have. The question now, I think, is who is going to be that fourth eight, and that's something that we've been wrestling with for a long time. At the moment, I think Jean-Luc Aboussio is that guy, but I don't think that he has a solid hold on that position. And I wonder, you know, I look around the pool, I see Paxton Pomykal, who's playing a very similar position over at FC Dallas. and he's playing in a very similar system over at FC Dallas, and he's doing it very well. And I wonder if he should get a call up, get a look. Maybe this is Timothy Tillman's opportunity to get into the U.S. men's national team. Maybe it is shifting Gio Reyna to that eight spot and then bringing in an additional winger. I'm not sure, but I can tell you right now, I'm not very confident in Jean-Luc Aboussio as far as fitting into this system and doing what Greg Berhalter's asking him to do. I think he just doesn't really, he's not really that kind of player at this point in his career. So that fourth number eight spot is going to be one that's really interesting as we head into Qatar. Now, the wingers has been probably the strongest and most consistent group of this U.S. men's national team. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of injuries at this position, but at the same time, we are crossing our fingers and hoping that we're going to get our best 23 available and healthy heading into Qatar. With that in mind, back in February, we had Christian Pulisic, Tim Weah, Gio Reyna, and Jordan Morris. Now, that moved in November to Pulisic, Weah, Reyna, and Aronson, and today we still have Pulisic, Weah, Reyna, and Aronson. I think we've seen throughout World Cup qualifying, all four of these players have come up pretty big for the U.S. men's national team. And all four of these players seem to be getting better at the club level. And I'm really excited to see what they can do once we get into the World Cup. I know there's been a lot of best 11s floating around, trying to get all of Pulisic, Weah, and Reyna on the field at the same time. But I firmly believe that in order to progress in a World Cup, you need a lot of rotation. You need a lot of depth. It's not just about having the best 11. So I think that all four of these guys, if given the opportunity, if healthy, are going to contribute massively to the U.S. In their hopes to pursue one of the best World Cups the U.S. has ever had. Now at the forward position, the position that it just always seems to be the most tumultuous position in all of U.S. men's national teamdom. Way back in February, we had Josh Sargent and Giassi Zardes. In November, we moved to Ricardo Pepi and Josh Sargent. And today, we have Jesus Ferreira and Ricardo Pepi. I think Ferreira and Pepi have emerged as probably the two strongest candidates for the striker position out of World Cup qualifying. We know that right now, Ricardo Pepi is in a bit of a cold streak. Hopefully, between now and the World Cup, he'll be able to bounce back. I think we saw, even in that last window, even though Pepi is a bit out of form, he still has the ability to hold up. He still has the ability to find really nice passes and get into scoring positions. So I still like a lot of what I see from Ricardo Pepi, and I still think he can be a great player. I think Jesus Ferreira is the one that's really emerged as a player that I wasn't expecting to contribute as much as he has, but a player that's grown a lot and a player that works really well in this offense. He seems to be our most goal-dangerous forward. He seems to be our best forward in possession and could just contribute a whole lot of intelligent runs and intelligent playmaking. And just when he's on the field with some of our better playmakers, the ball just seems to zip around that much faster. Now, to be fair to the rest of the striker pool, Jesus Ferreira has had one of the easiest roads as far as World Cup qualifying. I mean, he played against Honduras. He played against El Salvador. He played against Panama. These were games where the U.S. was the overwhelming favorite and kind of ran over the opposition. We'll see if Jesus can continue that trend against better opposition. But as far as right now, I think that Jesus and Pepi are the ones that are able to punch their ticket to Qatar. So that's my 23 right now. I mean, it must be said that we have no idea if FIFA is going to hold the national teams to 23 players. It might be an expanded roster, as we've seen throughout World Cup qualifying. So we don't know in that regard. But as far as this list, I think it's really interesting to see what players have come into the fold and what players have left the fold. I think we see players like Jackson Yule and Sebastian Legette, who were big contributors to this national team just a year ago, who have all but been dropped and better players have emerged. Same can be said potentially for Giassi Zardes. We see the struggles of Josh Sargent and how he's kind of fallen out of favor with this national team. And of course, John Brooks, one of the big question marks hanging over this national team moving forward. Will he be in the group? Will he not be in the group? It seems to be a question that is getting of lesser importance with the emergence of Walker Zimmerman and Miles Robinson. They've been absolutely tremendous, and I think they fit really well in what this team is trying to do and the profile for that position that Greg Berhalter wants to have. But it's still an interesting question moving forward. How does John Brooks get back into this team? Will he get back into this team? Is he a starter? Is he willing to come off the bench? These are the questions that we're going to have moving forward. Now, The question marks I think that we have moving forward are the question marks that we've had for a long time. I think that backup left back is a big question. Who's going to be the fourth number eight is a big question. And in that striker position, are we going to have a solidified number one striker, a number one number nine? Are we going to go in with a striker on a hot streak? Is Pepe and Ferreira going to be the two guys that represent us in Qatar? Is Josh Sargent going to be able to work his way back in? Maybe Matthew Hoppe just starts playing out of his mind over in La Liga there. Or maybe it's a dark horse like Falern Balogun that kind of jumps into the mix and gets an opportunity to represent the U.S. And then I think the biggest question mark affecting the starting 11 is going to be who's going to be that number one keeper. I think that debate has been reopened and that's going to rage on heading into the World Cup. It's going to be really interesting to see if Matt Turner can continue his form for the rest of the MLS season. And once he moves to Arsenal, how that kind of affects things. Are we going to have two keepers who are not getting regular playing time for their club? Does that affect his form? Is he going to be a little bit more shaky? On the flip side, Zach Steffen, is he going to be able to clean up these moments where he just seems to have a really sloppy play in every game that he has for the U.S. men's national team and Manchester City for that matter? So the keeper discussion is just going to continue to rage on, and that's going to be a really interesting one to look at moving forward. So that's my 23. I'm curious what you guys think. Do you think I'm underrating or overrating anybody? Let me know in the comment section. Who do you think ultimately makes that 23? What do you think ends up happening with the keeper position, with John Brooks? And are you happy and excited with kind of the growth of this pool moving forward? I feel like this 23 is a lot stronger than the 23 back in February. I feel like quality just keeps coming into this side, and it's getting more and more difficult to make that starting lineup. Just the brief moments that we had with Gio Reyna on the squad just reminds us how much quality he has, and he's just a player that it's going to be impossible not to start him. And what does that mean for Tim Weah? It's a good problem to have, but it's going to be interesting to see how Greg Berhalter works all these things out. So thank you for watching. If you want these videos in podcast form, the Yank Report podcast is available anywhere you get your podcasts. If you are so linguistically inclined, dame un comentario en español. The comments in Spanish really help with my reading, man. I don't always respond to all of them, but it really does help, and I appreciate everybody who leaves the comments in Spanish. If you really want to support the channel, you can become a member, get access to some cool badges, and you get the videos for everybody else. You get to see the members only videos. Shout out to my tier 2 members, Manuel Olivares, Mike Irish, Chris Matassa, and Matt Doyle. And shout out to my tier 3 member, Matthew Hanna. Guys, thank you so much for watching. I appreciate all the views during this last window. It's been epic. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, hit the like button if you haven't already. My name is Sam, and this is the Yank Report brought to you by Bet Online.